With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Okay, Patrick, we got to talk Gopher basketball later on here. I got my Gopher basketball hat on today in celebration of their first and maybe only conference win. We'll see. But Vikings Giants this weekend. We spent some time earlier this week. You know, people talk about the 41 donut playoff history between these two teams, but the 1997. They were down by two scores with like a minute and a half left, and they came back. So there's an interesting little playoff history between these two.
Yeah, they played three times. The first one was the Jim McMahon game where they actually led going into the fourth quarter, and terrible game. Both teams were not very good. And then they gave up, a long touchdown run by Dave Hampton, and then another, and they got beat. What was 17-14, something like that? Bad game, and then of course 41 donut, and then next was 97 when Denny punted. Denny had never won a playoff game, and he's down 10, and he punted with 3.5 minutes to go. Didn't he? We were all, "What are you doing, Denny?"
Yeah. Yeah.
And then they scored a quick touchdown. They recovered the onside kick, and after the game, Denny said, it's all part of the big plan, man. Denny patted himself, reached around, gave himself a reach around of all time, baby, on that one. But that was also, of course, pregame was the cabal. He would have been fired if they lost that one. And he thought he was going to be fired. And pregame, he said that there was a cabal of sports writers that got together with Stu Willis, and to try to get Denny fired, because that was going to be his. I think that was, had the book been written by then, Jack?
Yes, the book had just come out that year.
And was the cabal in the book? I think the cabal was in the book. I'm not sure.
I think that's where it started.
Which I loved. I loved the cabal because I could, of course, then write a column saying, how can you say such things about Sansevier, Powers, and Barrero? It's terrible that you would accuse those three guys of being part of the cabal, because he didn't name the cabal, you know. Some people thought maybe I should be in it, but I had a little fun suggesting that these other three guys, defending these other three guys as being nice guys. So, and that, so yeah, you're right. They've had a great great history, and we're 1-2 against them, and this is going to be oddly is going to be the rare one score game with our Vikings, don't you think? It's going to be, we are not going to know who won this one with 2 minutes to go. This is going to be a very close game, in my opinion.
Yeah, so, I mean, I have no idea. I have no idea what to expect. Go ahead, Judd.
So Patrick, there are rumors out there, there are rumblings that we're going to get a Patrick Roycey appearance at this game.
I plan to be there. Yes, I have seen the end of the season Chicago game where they didn't make the playoffs that year and stunk it out, and one other one, but I can't remember what it was. And then the Super Bowl, and then I've been in there for other events too, but prep bowls and stuff like that. But Kevin Seifert and others have been encouraging me to be there so we can have like a pregame discussion about 41 to donut and relive the great days in the press box there at Giants Stadium when the greatest, one of my most fun days ever in a press box. It was like we had 25 Dave Chappelle's in there. They were just flying, man. It was unbelievable. The sarcasm flying was fantastic. And of course, back then, the Vikings officials sat behind you in the press box, and they got to suck it all in. It was fantastic. I loved it.
Are you guys going to gather for this discussion just for fun, or are you going to record it, or what's the...
Yeah,
what's
I think it was just a BS. I don't know how many of us are left. I don't know what Barrero and the Barrero won't be there, and it would be me and Seifert, and there got to be a couple other guys there probably, but not that many, right?
No.
Stansevier is not.
Bob doesn't go anymore.
He doesn't go anymore. So, yeah, it'll. But I should make an occasional appearance. Here's my biggest problem with the place. Logistics. I'm too damn old. You know, when you used to walk around going in the back of the Metrodome, it was like 7 minutes, right, from the front to the back. Now it's an hour and a half. The damn thing. You got to walk down in the street around and come on and through six security fences. And that thing is three times as big as the other place. I hate it. I hate this dome. It's too damn big. It's too damn big. I hate it.
Is it too late to reconstruct the Metrodome? Can we?
Let's just drag our front asses in through the front entrance, and everything would be fine. But they got to make you go around to St. Paul and come back to get into the damn thing.
That's right, though. Yeah, you got to enter on the far side of like 11th and 6th.
And then when the Vikings were planning it, they were saying, how can we screw with these guys and make them feel miserable and let them know how much we hate them? We'll make them walk in from way over there. So
I love our playoff breakdown. Like playoff breakdown. Here's why the media is getting screwed on their walk into the stadium.
Logistics. No, I mean. So supposedly our guy Udo had a pretty good game in Chicago, which might not mean anything. So should we now think that he's got a chance to block?
He's better as a tackle than he was a guard.
They think he's better as a tackle, but you know what? One thing is going to be whether they decide to call any holding penalties or not on the offensive lineman. If they let the Vikings tackle the defensive lineman from the Giants, then the Vikings would probably win the game. But if they call a couple of penalties, holding penalties early against that Giants pass rush, then you're going to have a tough day. But it's playoff time. They don't call many penalties, so you can pretty much get away with murder, headlocks and stuff like that. So that could help. But, I think the Giants are a tough assignment for them, because the Giants like to run it. I mean, they can run it. I like Jones as an athlete, and they have a much better defense than the Vikings do. So
Jones outrunning Vikings old middle linebackers would be a thing that scares me if I'm Kevin O'Connor, Ed Donatell.
Yeah, he is an athlete. What do you guys think? What's your assessment of Kendricks these days? Okay, not a
he's straight. Okay.
I mean,
he's
3
okay.
years ago. 3 years ago, he was their best player, I thought.
And he's okay. Yeah. He has slowed down. He's not bad, but he's also not, you know, I mean, yes, 3 to 4 years ago, he was a sort of perennial Pro Bowl type of player. Those days are gone.
And which then, who's is the kid hurt? The young guy?
Asamoah?
Is he hurt?
Practiced yesterday. I think he'll play.
Okay.
Which is absolutely imperative.
Are we happy Bradbury's back, or don't we give a damn?
I don't know for sure yet.
It's a back injury. I don't know. Yeah. I mean, you're choosing between, you know, a hobbled back injury Bradbury, a guy that's only played two games at center ever in his NFL career, and then a guy they signed off of a couch a week and a half ago. Those are your options.
Yes. Well, I don't know. It'll, as I said, with these guys, anybody who thinks they can figure out what's going to happen with this team is fooling themselves. And it'll be interesting. Their third quarter numbers are just incredible, aren't they? Aren't they like the worst in the league, right?
They were. So they're up to like fifth worst. Because they had a big third quarter somewhere in there. But they're bad. Well, the Colts. Colts pulled them out of the cellar in the third quarter. Yeah.
Yeah, it is a mysterious, fun team. That's for sure. If I was a fan, if I gave a damn, I have enjoyed this season. You know, because they've given you way more thrills than you. They've given you everything you want in sports, right?
Yeah.
A chance to bitch and whine and moan and a chance to celebrate. It's every what more would you want? It's why
the Bills game, the Colts game,
yes,
and then all the blowout losses. Like it is really yes.
And right. And the Colts game will stand now as the straight, not only the biggest comeback ever, but the strangest performance in the history of the Vikings. That you could be bad enough to get behind 33-0 to one of the three or four worst teams in the league is incredible. It's incredible.
Absolutely.
And you know what surprises me is either people aren't admitting it or nobody left early that game.
Except for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nobody left early.
No crazy person left early except for me. Thank you very much.
So I've been talking to a couple of guys, big Viking fans now in their 50s, but who were at 41 to Donut this week. And they had flown in and they had kind of open tickets to fly back home. And they left at halftime and went to got an earlier flight in Newark in that game. You know, they're going to be here Sunday, and I think they're going to hang with it no matter what the hell's going on.
Hey, crazy thing for you here. One of a listener of Purple Daily named Brent found this, and we brought this up yesterday. So over the last 20 years, only two teams have made the playoffs with a bottom five scoring defense, which the Vikings have one of the five worst defenses scoring defense.
Yeah.
So 20 years, only two playoff teams with bottom five scoring defenses. This year's Vikings and the 2008 Arizona Cardinals with Kurt Warner, Larry Fitzgerald was like 25 years old, and they actually almost won the Super Bowl.
Yes,
they had a lead in the second half of the Super Bowl.
That was a strange, explosive team. That was the Warner. They get they let him go. They thought he was done, and he came back and had a great year again. What a story that guy is. These guys, a couple of guys I was talking to are actually University of Northern Iowa guys, right?
Yeah.
Kurt Warner, backup quarterback to Jay Johnson at Northern Iowa until his senior year in I don't think they call it FCS then, but whatever the hell they called it back then. And he ends up being a Hall of Famer. It's pretty amazing. Man, those Rams teams were good. They should have won more than one, don't you think?
Oof. Yeah.
That was a track meet, man. It was unbelievable.
Is he a Hall of Famer without the Arizona run? If he flamed out after New York.
I think he needed the second one.
Me too?
I think he needed the second one.
He might have.
Because he had like three good years kind of there at the end in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, well, he was that was one of Denny's – another one of Denny's interesting play. That was Denny, right, that the Rams got?
The 99, the 99 game.
99 team that – Jeff George didn't fall in a fumble. But what I remember about that game is it took like 5 hours because the Vikings then it was 41-10 or something. And then the Vikings got three touchdowns late in the game and kept going on and on and on and calling timeouts. And the game lasted for weeks. I remember that one.
That was the briefest celebration of the greatest offense of all time. 1998 offense. Oh my God. Revolutionizing football. And then 5 minutes later, the Rams come along in 1999.
And Cunningham just falls apart.
Yeah.
In 99 too.
That was, he did, but Dante was, they weren't going to let Dante be the quarterback, right? They weren't going to let him be the quarterback. They were going to try to sign Dan Marino. And then,
that's right.
They came close.
Yeah,
they came close on Dan.
Bring back Marino. So
what's your prediction, Patrick? Who do you got?
Well, I had to do this for the paper. So Giants 29, Vikings 24.
Oh, wow.
That's good news, though, because if you pick against them, that's good news. Because don't forget, 2017, you went on with Mel Kiper, football savant.
Guaranteed.
Guaranteed.
I said, this is the silliest conversation ever. The Vikings are going to, Nick Foles is the quarterback. The Vikings are going to kick their ass.
Darian Bell.
They're going to name the score, Bell. What's wrong with you? I thought you knew football.
Have you been invited back on that show since?
Game starts. We get the quick touchdown. I said, see, Mel? See, Mel? They get the next one, 34.
Let's take that guy out of our Rolodex.
You know, that loss might be worse than 41 donut. We just don't give it recognition because that team was better than the 41 donut team. That 41 donut team wasn't that great. They were getting, they were getting old. That, you know, Zim's team that lost, got their ass kicked in Philadelphia was pretty dang good. And I still can't believe that one. But who knows? That's why there's no logical reason to think this team could go to the Super Bowl. But you got Brock Purdy playing quarterback at San Francisco.
Yeah,
what if Geno Smith, having no pressure on him, comes in and lights up the 49ers and they beat him? And then all of a sudden you're playing against the Giants to have another home game. And then you go play the Eagles, who haven't been good in the last month, right?
Listen, Pat, so I went on the record on Write That Down. I have the Seahawks, my Seahawks, by the way, over the Niners. And I've been watching some of the local news footage. It's very loosey-goosey around Seahawks practice this week.
Oh, yeah.
Very loosey. Pete Carroll's on a scooter. Guys are dancing around.
Well, it's free lunch for them. They were perfectly willing to go 5-12, and all of a sudden they're, you know, they win their division. So they make the playoffs. They don't win the division. So
yeah.
Anyway,
it's wide open. It's wide open.
How about those Gophers? Dawson Garcia finally shows up. Man, he was good. And it played a lot of inside, scored a lot inside. Ohio State played, was it Kansas, right down to the wire about 10 days ago? Since then, they've lost three in a row. They can't make any shots.
Mm.
And the Gophers, they played, I thought they played pretty good against Nebraska. And, just screwed it away at the end. They're finally getting better. They're finally getting better. They got the call at the end of the game, but what the heck? Referees all stink. So what difference does it make? Half the time they're right and half the time they're wrong.
Are you after last night, for people that didn't see it, both coaches were mic'd up, not mic'd up in the way that you're used to, where they'll like, go show a 30-second clip. They were mic'd up for 2.5 hours and you heard everything they were saying the whole time. Are you thumbs up or thumbs down?
I only watched the second half. I didn't see the first half, but I liked it. I thought it was good, but it does show you. I mean, you watch them on the sidelines. You sometimes sit behind them and you know they're lunatics, but you needed, you found out last night that Ben is a lunatic. He coaches every second of every play. And if I was a player, I would have to resist the urge to tell him to shut the bleep up and let me stop screaming at me, because you're in the chaos of a game. Does he really think they're listening to him when he go guard him? Do any of them think anybody's paying attention to them?
I agree,
but that's what Clem did too, Pat. I mean, Clem never shut up.
Well, it was different. I don't know. I mean, one of my great nights I ever had covering sports was I got to sit behind Katie from Me to This Wall. I was like, at Hoosier Dome in the regional in Indianapolis, I got a seat and Katie was 6 feet away from me, 7 feet away from me. And that was a game. They were number one seed in the country and they lost to Texas in the round of 16 and a bad call at the end. That was the time he came in and he hit the table and the mic jumped up in the air. He was so damn mad. But that was, that was fun to listen to, because, telling his assistants they were idiots and shut up, I'm the coach and stuff like that. It was fun, but it wasn't constant screaming out instructions at the team. But the one I always remember is Scottie Scheffler was his big center, and there's 50 seconds to go and they have a timeout and they're breaking out of the huddle. And he says, and he kind of taps him on the head and he says, "Scotty, baby, come back to planet Earth." You know, so I mean, you only get little snippets though, you know, and only at the like NCAA tournaments and stuff, because always at Williams, they were across the field, I mean, across the court where they were lunatics and stuff like that. But last night was, because the guy from Ohio State didn't shut up often either, but he wasn't quite as bad as Ben. But I told you guys, I saw an exchange on Twitter. Tim Miles and Patino are going to be mic'd up when New Mexico plays San Jose State this week. So I think all the reviews I've seen have been good on this. You're going to see a lot more, aren't you?
Yeah, they're kind of desperate to find a way to make college basketball more interesting, too.
Yeah, because, I mean, because the games are so meaningless. You know, I mean, okay, hey, North Carolina's playing Duke, boy, rivalry like none other, until they play again next week. And then in the
ACC championship.
And then the ACC tournament.
And then the Elite Eight. Yeah.
Yeah, right. I mean, they've taken away the, ooh, man, if we don't win this game, we're not making a tournament. You know, and if it's, you know, if it's Illinois and the Gophers playing to finish either 10-10 or 9-11, and maybe make that doesn't have that much, you know, who cares? Yeah. You know, oh, we may make the tournament. Okay. As a, you know, 14 seed, that's who cares? So it's really hard to get people into a game and that isn't, you know, that aren't part of the fan bases of the two teams. And this might help. This might be pretty good.
Agreed.
Now it'll wear out. Don't you think it'll wear out? I mean, it'll.
I want to see. I'm with you. You talk about Gene Cade. I think it was our old producer on the radio show, Corey Roofs, was working one of the regionals like 10 years ago. And he sat right behind the West Virginia bench with Bob Huggins. And he came back the next day and he said, I am shook with some of the things that he said to his coaches and players that get you arrested.
Well, well, they tell legendary stories about him at Cincinnati because he proudly had a zero graduation rate.
Yeah.
He never graduated a starting player in his time there. And he would just F Bob them and tell them how stupid they were. You know, Jeff Shelman covered him and loves him, you know, but it's Cincinnati, but it's, I mean, it's a completely different old school style of coaching to just chew their rear ends out.
Hold on, that's what we need to mic those guys up. Mic those guys up for two hours and
charge.
I don't think he'll take a chance on Huggy Bear, man. You know, he says there's an F bomb when he says hello, you know, so I don't know if that's
pay per view, Patrick. Pay per view.
Yes, right.
Give me the F bombs. I want them all.
Hey, we got Bernard coming to the Hubbard Empire. Hey, I always said the only reason he got a podcast was so he could say the F-bomb on the air. So we'll see if that still works or not.
Well, maybe he's setting the precedent now for Royce actually unchained going forward. We'll see.
Yeah, I don't even think I want that. I would, you know.
Well, you've said it on the radio a couple times.
Kind of, yeah, I think it's kind of fun trying to stop yourself. And now Joe's running these cameras, you know, when you're after a show ends before we start Monday Night Sports Talk. And there's been about three times that I never remember that they're on the air. And I've come in and said, giving totally inappropriate information about people. <You know?
laughs> Yeah, it's, the cameras are rolling behind the scenes.
Lifestyles and stuff like that. Uh-huh. And then all of a sudden, Ronald will say, you know, we're on the air. And I said, what?
No, I was kidding. Just kidding.
I could get sued. Come on.
Amazing. Patrick Royce hasn't been canceled. 50 years and hasn't been canceled yet.
Yes, that is amazing. All right.
All right. We'll see. Jess, we'll talk to you after the weekend.
It'll be a fun weekend. It'll be a hell of a game. I think it'll be really good.
See you Sunday.
All right. See you, Pat.
Yep. Yeah, goodbye.
All right. There he is. Royce Unchained. You can find his daily work across Score North on the Royce Unchained podcast feeds.